The Viridian Nutrition range of 200-plus award-winning products includes vitamins, minerals, herbs, nutritional oils, specialty supplements, tinctures, and balms, all formulated to be healthful, efficacious, and pure. By choosing our Viridian Nutrition range, you are one step closer to your goal of 100% wellness. Ethical vitamins with an organic heart. Available at all Browns outlets. Browns and you.
Welcome to the She Word, conversations that women rarely have, but really should. A recent study by the National Bureau of Economic Research revealed that close to 80% of women struggle with low self-esteem and shy away from expressing their opinion or speaking up for themselves at work. An estimated 82% of women struggle with imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome is the feeling that you're a fraud and you don't deserve the things that you've achieved. And low self-esteem is a negative self-perception that makes you judge yourself harshly. Studies have found that 69 to 84% of women experience body dissatisfaction, desiring to be a lower weight than they currently are. One in three university-age women say that they've been in an abusive dating relationship. And it's understood that women stay in bad relationships for a number of reasons. Fear of being alone, low self-esteem, financial dependence, all playing key roles. Work, self-image, relationships, ambition, family, friendships are all affected by our self-esteem and how we value ourselves, what we identify as our worth. And therefore, this is a critical topic that we must keep addressing on the She Word for women of all ages in order to empower all women to live the life they really want to live. And in this episode, we're going to look at how self-worth impacts several different aspects of our lives. And joining me today, I have a phenomenal table of ladies. Marilena Gauci is the owner of the Brilhace Cafe.
Yes.
Vice President of Mayor, an autonomous non-profit association dedicated to giving a stronger voice to Malta's creative sectors, but with an academic background, including policy executive at Malta Chamber. Thank you so much for being here. Did I get Brilhace? Brilhace.
Brilhace. Yes, you got it perfectly. Brilhace is actually a name that Sam had come up with, my partner. He was actually the founder of Brilhace.
Brilhace.
Which is from Brill, is from brilliance.
Okay.
And the last three letters, A-C-E, is from solace. So the idea is that Brilhace offers brilliance and solace. That's the ethos.
How lovely. Well, I won't forget. I'm hoping by the end of the show, I will actually be able to pronounce it.
I'm sure you will.
Seamlessly. I'm going to ask you a few more details about yourself in just a second. Hello. Christine Borch.
Beautiful.
Hello, gorgeous. Cree. I'm going to call you Cree. A certified life coach in mind mastery. And I'm going to be asking you in just a moment what that all is all about. A productivity specialist, a keynote motivational speaker, a mum, and you also took a dramatic career change after 12 years in management with HSBC. Which is amazing. So I'm going to come to you in just a second.
Yes.
Cree, what did I miss out? Tell me a little bit about more about you and the very fact that when I researched you, my word, what an incredible career change.
Yes, yes, from banking to life coaching. And it wasn't very popular, like when you introduce yourself, you know, you left the financial industry to pursue life coaching. I didn't get many nice looks at the time. And that's where like I was so sure about this path. I remember in the beginning, some people were like, is that really a job? Like, you know, like, but I was very sure about it, did some self-discovery, followed my inner voice, as one would say. And yes, I went from corporate to doing my own thing. And it's been very, very fulfilling. And I help people design a life that they love after obviously designing that life for myself as well.
Oh, my word. It's amazing. I feel like I'm in the presence of greatness. Isn't that incredible? I love that. You help people design a life that they love. This is why you are so perfect to be on this show. And I'm so glad that you're here, Cree.
Thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. We met and we just knew we had to do this. But then I also met you, Marilena, and we don't know each other that well, but I met you and I said, I have to have you on the show and I have to have you on this show. And I'm not entirely sure why, but the more we get to know each other, yes. I know that it was meant to be.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about you, because you also went from an academic career
sure.
to doing something that you love.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, thank you for having me on your show, Trudy. I am a huge fan. And actually, as I had told you, your show specifically is one of the things that helped me through one of the worst times of my life. So I used to listen to it, especially during the night. I used to watch it because I had one of my very good friends on your show as well who explained certain situations when it comes to, you know, dealing with difficult situations. And it just helped me through. So you have no idea who you're capable of touching and what you're capable of doing. Just keep that in mind.
Well,
Trudy.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I am.
Life is never plain sailing, but your period is one challenge that shouldn't ever stop you or stand in your way. Tampax is the number one combination for comfort, protection, and discretion. Tampax tampons are independently tested, so you can be certain that there's no harmful substances present. Tampax adapts to your unique body shape to provide you protection even when you're living life to the full. Because nothing should stop you, period.
Very grateful. To go into a little bit more about myself, my academic background is a little bit similar to Chris, but then I specialized in behavioral economics. So then I went on to do my master's in behavioral economics. I also did, at that time, also a diploma in European politics, because I have a I am very, very interested in politics and how
it
works.
I know as well, yeah.
But then I specifically worked on behavioral economics. At the time, I was already working on economic policy with the Chamber of Commerce. But, and this is going to be very special, Trudy, at the time when I was doing my thesis, for some odd reason, I chose to specialize in why consumers decide between different coffees and different alternative milks. So I studied why, for example, the same. So you have a franchise in, for example, Morris Schlock, and then in Slema. Why do people opt for different choices? And it was a specific coffee franchise that I chose to work with and study. And at the time, I had not met Sam. I had no idea I would ever run a coffee business, or I really, really, really promise you I didn't. So then I continued my master's, and then I was actually working for University of Malta because I had taken that as a scholarship. And then COVID happened, so everything went a little bit haywire, you know. At the time, I met Sam, my partner in life and my partner in business, which also has its difficulties, as mm-hmm. one can imagine. And at the time, Sam had this little small coffee shop, you know, Brillace, which was
Brillace.
Not...
I feel like the whole table should say this again.
Brillace.
But he just used to do it for the love of coffee, literally for the love of coffee. And just as we went on, as we got to know more each other, and I told him, listen, you know, this can be really big, it can go on, you know, and I started teaching him a little bit of economics, and then I had gone on to doing full-time theater because I wanted a break. And at the time, we were doing a production, Il Gbira DJ, about Freddie Portelli. I was playing the role of Georgette, Freddie's lover. So I had a lot of time during the day, you know, when I wasn't rehearsing, or to work with Sam. And it just happened, you know. Now it's been 4 years almost, and we're looking into our third establishment. And but of course, what I love, Trudy, is that what I studied so much and what I love, because I love economics, I actually apply. And you see it working, you know, you see how it, you know, if it's economies of scale, it's anything, if it's how behavioral demand works so much. And then, of course, there is the ethos of the business, which is very important. You know, value over anything else.
Yeah. I love this. I love this. And I'm really glad that you really went and pursued something that you believed in. And we're going to talk about Exactly that. Yeah. So before we dive into the topic, I do want to come to you, Zoe, because you've joined us from the UK. Yeah. You and I actually know each other for a very long time. We think it's about 22 years.
It is.
And yeah. when I first came to Malta, I had never heard of Malta, but you'd actually been. But you're based in the UK. Whereabouts in the UK are you at? And what a little bit more about what you do.
Yes. I think having described all the things that make me, I think I was just a bit gobsmacked, thinking, oh my goodness, I have so many hats. and it was quite nice, actually, to realise that there were those things. I've actually just very recently taken a bit of a change of direction in that when we went into COVID, I had a change in my own marital situation and I got divorced and I bought a house and I was on my own suddenly very quickly. And I had been a freelancer doing producing events and video and all sorts of things. And I realized I needed some security. So I had to get myself a full-time job. And for the last 5 years, that's what I've been doing full-time, working for events companies, a couple of different ones. But it was only recently that I've made the decision, and it was quite a big leap of faith in myself, actually, to make the decision to go back to freelance and to work for myself and to have the confidence and the belief in myself that I could actually go and do that. Yes.
How exciting. I mean, we got three women at the table that have just ironically had very similar choices and journeys, and we're going to dive into that, and it affects every single part of our lives. And I just want to say thank you. Aww. This show was meant to be, and I'm so glad that we are here. I want to kick off by looking at, particularly from a personal point of view, where the challenges for women come from, because we as women face so many challenges that affect our self-worth, both positively and negatively. And we'll talk about positive as well. Unhappy childhood, where parents or other significant people such as teachers were extremely critical and undoubtedly can affect a child and therefore an adult's self-confidence and how they feel about themselves. Poor academic performance in school can also affect how we feel about ourselves. Ongoing stressful life events such as relationship breakdowns, which you just mentioned back there, Zoe, or financial trouble can affect our worth. But I mean, these are just sort of things that might spring to mind. But I just want to throw it on the table because I'm thinking of anyone that's listening to the show and saying, well, you know, actually, I haven't had a breakup relationship and maybe I didn't have a tough childhood, but I don't have, you know, I don't have great self-worth, or self-worth is something I need to start working on. Where are we as women? Where does that challenge come from? Why do we struggle with self-worth? We started off with all of those statistics, and pretty much 80% of women in all areas are challenged with self-confidence, self-esteem, and self-worth. Where does that come from?
And the thing is, we're not born feeling less worthy. I've got two girls, like they know their worth, but like you were mentioning, friends, you know, teachers, one by one, they chip away. They would say something like, for example, I noticed with my eldest, she's at an age now where she's understanding. And as humans, we are meaning making machines. So for example, I could be just playing with her younger sister innocently. But she would perceive that, well, mommy loves my sister more than me, but I'm purely just playing with her. So we make meaning to things as children. We don't have the emotional or the intelligence to identify that mommy's working or daddy's working and he cannot come to me right now, not because they don't love me. So then obviously you start making meaning to things and they chip away at your worth. So this is the journey we're on. And that's why I'm so passionate about mind mastery, because our mind lies to us. It always lies to us. So when we make a meaning to something, most of the time when you dig deeper, you would have interpreted that comment as someone is saying that, therefore I'm not worthy. But it's not the case. Mm-hmm. Am I making sense?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Trudy, I think to answer your question, as women, we may suffer more with finding our self-worth because I believe by nature, we are more compassionate. And you might be asking, well, what does that mean? So compassionate, being compassionate in its own sense, it comes from the Latin word, which actually means to take on pain. And I do believe that as women, we are more capable of showing empathy and taking on more pain. So, and this is what I like to say, we should not confuse empathy, kindness, compassionate with stupidity. So I, as a woman, will sit on a table with businessmen and I will be more compassionate and empathic to employees' needs, most probably, you know, to customers' needs, you know, to fluctuations in prices, to increasing demands in children's, you know, needs. And but it doesn't mean that that makes me less worthy or less capable of thinking business-minded as much as you, because you're a male. It's just I am actually better at understanding certain things, you know, and it's not because I'm devaluing the male, it's just because so I believe that being more compassionate might put us a little bit on a lower edge, so to speak, that okay, you know, she's gonna accept more. So she knows less her worth, and that is not it, because to be compassionate we need to set strong boundaries. How? By making sure we allow people to be accountable for their mistakes. And that is where my compassion will not be mistaken for lower self-worth. If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know? That's giving me food for thought.
Yeah, I mean, I hear you absolutely. And I think you've got to absolutely, you've hit the nail on the head there, because I remember being in meetings and thinking, from a point of, oh, I'm just going to let them talk first because I'm going to say the wrong thing. Or you think you might sound stupid because you want to make sure that they get to say what they have to say first. Absolutely, from an empathetic perspective, I totally agree with you. I think it's almost like we stop ourselves from actually going to answer a question or to say something that actually is probably, and it's happened to me before, somebody else has got in there and said it, exactly what I wanted to say. And then you think, oh God, if only I just, you know, had the balls to actually say it. Yes. And it's so frustrating. And absolutely, absolutely, it's definitely to do with compassion, empathy. I'm thinking I may not be good enough. I may not be right.
Well, let's stick with this, because we've dived into this workplace. And this is one of the first areas that I want to touch on. And we are all women who've worked in larger corporations and then also worked for ourselves. It's documented that in the workplace, and particularly in interview, women need to prove themselves more than men. Not only do women receive more questions, talking about interview, but they are also asked more frequently about their strengths in 45% of the interviews compared to 33% for men. Weaknesses, 40% versus 31% for men. And failures, 24% versus 18%. In addition, women have a much higher propensity to list their past successes, whilst when men will talk about what they can do, men will sell their potential and women will list their CV. And this is really well documented. Wow. And it is coming back to what you were saying, but why? Why do women, apart from this empathy and compassion, why do women face this in the workplace? How can we truly overcome this to see our worth?
I believe we can truly overcome this by being truly courageous. And again, just to go on to what the ethos of my argument, what does it mean to be truly courageous, Trudy? It means to speak your core. That's where it comes from. Courage, from the Latin word core, heart. Courage is nothing about being heroic, masculine, you know, we can lift so many weights, or it's speaking your heart out. So if us women, if you are interviewed and you are asked, you know, can you say anything about your weaknesses? And you just speak your heart out. You know, you don't remain timid or try to make yourself a little bit smaller so the guy who's interviewing you won't think that you're going to bruise his ego, but you have the courage to say it how it is. If he's going to love it, that's great. If he's not, that's great. You know, you have no problem with that. So having the courage to be authentic. Speaking your heart.
Yes, I agree with you. I think what we're forgetting is our ancestors, and for many, many generations and decades,
it's ingrained.
The women was at home.
Yes.
Oops, sorry. The women was at home.
Yes.
And now we're in a society where the women has gone out to work, but there's decades and hundreds of years.
Millennia.
Oh,
yeah. Like, millennia. We're talking about millennia.
This is the thing. So we, through the patriarchy, are in a situation where, you know, you hear a lot of, oh, why do you need Women's Day and these women conference? We need it now because of all the years where we were silenced and not able to vote and not able to go to work. And the first thing a girl would be taught is how to wipe the floor, not how to read a book.
Exactly.
So this is the scenario. And even though we are in the modern world now, we're still suffering that because we were raised by others who were raised by others, and it's just trickling down. Yes, so for me,
it's almost like a trauma feeling, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
But it's a huge thing what you talk about courage, because it's about, it's that courage to know that you are a success already.
Yes, yes.
And own that success.
Yes.
It's being able to go, actually, I'm really bloody good at what I do.
To recognize it.
And that is where the courage comes from. Because if you know that, and like you say, but from the history of women, that's why it's a really hard thing to do.
And that's why I started off by asking where the challenges come from. Because if somebody said to me, for instance, you just mentioned about the changing culture. You're absolutely right. Careers, women having careers is post-war. There's a whole narrative, there's a whole story about why that is so. Prior to the Second World War, women were homemakers, which is where cleaning the floors came from, and part of that role. And it wasn't as if men were there, you know,
twiddling their thumbs, you know, but yeah.
Absolutely not. But post-war, we've been able to take on these careers. Now, what that means is that we are into a new era.
Definitely.
That even men don't know where they fit into this world, let alone us women.
Yeah.
Women are actually embracing independence and progression more than men are. So we need to help our male counterparts and be empathic and compassionate to them without letting them take away from us.
No.
But coming back to what you were saying about courage is why I started off by asking, where are these barriers to our courage and to our confidence and to our self-esteem coming from? Because if we know that we're dealing with millennia of social construct, then we can say, okay, well, fair enough. Okay, that I'm going to just let that one go. Or if we're dealing with, I don't know, social media. Okay, let's reevaluate social media. It's why I think it's important to find out where these challenges are.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think for me, the most important thing for everybody is that we take care of ourselves from the inside out. Because there's a lot of, you know, you go and get things done to look beautiful, which is absolutely fine. But if you are seeking your worth from the, you know, your colleagues at work, the recognition you receive, what people say about you, social media, whatever that is, you are never going to feel worthy because you are relying on someone else's perspective. And that other person, let's look at, for an example, let's say we're at a party, same DJ, same ambiance, same crowd. You can get one person saying, this party was terrible. And this another person that was in the same environment saying, I had the time of my life. But it's the same environment. Why two different people have two different experiences? And human beings have different experiences of us completely. You can speak to one person, they say, Trudy's amazing. And to another, they wouldn't say the same, which I would disagree with. But the point is, we are, as we're raised, especially as women, as the people pleasers, we're raised to see what others say and we have to base our worth on that. Whereas I'm saying, let go of that, because different people are going to think differently. That's futile.
Kri, you just said something. You just hit a nail on the head that got the rest of the table going, bam. And it comes back to what you were saying.
People pleasers. Women are. That's exactly that.
Yes. You know what I notice? I notice that when someone specific needs something to be done or a favor, they will ask me, not Sam. And I'm not saying anything, but because I will definitely go the extra mile. And don't get me wrong, my team at Brillace, they are my pride and joy. I love them to bits. We are honestly a family. But I notice myself that I almost make it a mission to please everyone, including Sam, you know? And then I ask myself, where is me pleasing me? You know,
and the thing is, because we're going to talk about, like, obviously me and you were moms, but you know that every woman has a nurturing nature,
even
if you don't have your own kids, you can show up as that nurture. It's biological. So what you're saying, it's because 100%. Biologically you're wired to nurture.
Yes, definitely.
Making people happy, making sure that everybody's happy is that kind of, it's an innate part of being a woman.
Yes.
And it really is.
It's
biological. It is, totally. Making sure that the team is happy.
Completely
work
agree.
Particularly.
There was a time where I used to base my day, whether it was successful or not on what I actually did or how productive I was or what my own ambitions were, but on how happy I made everyone. Mm. And believe me, it ate me from the inside.
Definitely.
Why did it eat you from the... Why does that compromise your self-worth?
Because you can never be enough. Because the more you strive to make to get your worth out of exterior validation.
We're talking the same language, baby.
Exactly. So nowadays, I wake up and I look in the mirror and I say, good morning, Mar. You are worthy. You are doing your best. Even if it's not going to be a good day, but you've done your best, you know? And it's okay. It's okay that you didn't manage to do this for that someone, you know, because it eats you from the inside and people wouldn't believe, you know, they see you smiling and doing your best. But when you go home, you know, that's when you realize that this is not what I should be doing.
No.
So I believe that is very, very important.
And each of you have said the same thing in a different way, because you also said, Kri, you said it's about, and I can't tell you how much that's just landed on me, how much we need to find our self-worth from within and not from without. Yes. I'm going to move on to this imposter syndrome and put that on the table as well as something else we're going to talk about, because it's the silent enemy, isn't it? Despite evidence of competence, it's when we question what we can do. There's a really interesting it's a global study by KPMG. 75% of women, particularly in leadership positions, but 75% of women have experienced this syndrome.
Wow.
75% of women have imposter, don't believe they're worthy of being where they're at. I mean, this is one in four women is okay. The rest of us are really just wondering why the hell we managed to do what we're doing. Have you ever had that?
Huge amounts of it. Huge. It for a couple of points in my life, it has actually floored me completely. And it's that, I was a little bit young. The first time it happened, I suppose I was in my 30s really badly. And that was a moment of, how can actually this be something that nobody else knows how to do? How can I actually be being paid for what I'm doing? Because I find it easy. Maybe someone's going to turn around and go, you don't know what you're doing. Because I enjoyed it as well. I think that was the other thing. I was enjoying my job and I was enjoying what I did and I was seeing really good results, but I kept thinking someone's going to find out. Someone's going to find out that anyone could do this, you know? And that for a while absolutely floored me.
And enjoying it is also a part of it. If I may latch onto that.
Yeah.
In my personal experience with business, I don't find that it's just being loyal to the business and you're giving it your all. It's having a strong sense of devotion. And I feel that when you have that to your job, you know, your coaching, what you do, Trudy, you give everything. Mm. You are heart and soul. and it's fire. And you are all the time switched on. That's how I look at, you know, in your job. And it, for example, you see the business grow and you say, no, I couldn't have done this. It's not me. No, I was just lucky. And you start having these, you know, and you start having these questions. And when you're all in, when you have a day that you haven't done your best and you know you haven't done your best, that is the day that you really, really eaten from the inside because you're fully devoted. So us women, may we recognize that what we've done is really with our capabilities, and may we also work to have something that allows us drive but allows us stillness to also move away from it, to find ourselves, you know, every now and then go back into it. That's what I would say.
So for me, I didn't experience imposter syndrome in my career journey. I experienced this when I became a mother for the first time. I was raised in an orphanage and didn't have any siblings or like this big family. So I wasn't surrounded by kids. And the first baby I held was my own. So you can imagine how green I was. So here I was trying to take care of a human, and I just felt like I'm not a great mother, you know? And then you get, obviously, you're bombarded with advice and you're bombarded with social media, everyone doing it so well. Nowadays, like, I've really embraced that, but that's, for me, that was the experience. And I'm sure I speak with a lot of mummies. It's very common, especially when it's not, I wasn't one of those mothers that was like, oh, you know, I want to be a mother. This is the, you know, my life dream. Mm-hmm. Now that I have two kids, it's one of the best roles that I get to, I'm blessed to experience. And even in motherhood, you're going to, you know, question your worth because you're raising humans, and no human is the same, and no book is going to answer how to raise your human. And therefore you're going to make mistakes, and they are going to tell you, and they're, you know, so if you're basing your worth on how happy your kids are, that's going to be futile as well.
Yes. But this comes back to exactly what you said before, is that about finding your worth inside of yourself and not external forces, whether it be a parent or not. I have to tell you, as a non-parent, I live in awe of women who've had children. I can't even 100%. Work out how you go through pushing a human being out of body parts. I mean, I literally sit there and I'm like, how do they do that? Yes. If it was down to me, the human face would race would have finished a long time ago, because I'd be like, oh no, I'm not doing that. I think it's worth acknowledging that for us who are not parents, there is a huge amount of respect. But what I see, and we have this in the mum's show that Narissa is now presenting, we have this conversation about mum guilt.
Nobody prepares you for that. No, you know, they do the like hospital courses and you read all the books.
Yeah.
At least that's what I did, because I had no idea what was coming up. And mum guilt came up nowhere. And in my career now, I do so much work with mothers. So the same person that felt like an imposter, I do workshops for moms. I work with a lot of one-on-one mummies, because there's so much to talk about that nobody told us.
But you're,
you know,
the first person I've ever heard that's ever addressed that as imposter syndrome for mumming. I've heard a lot of terms about, you know, becoming a mom and experiencing this self-doubt or experiencing mum guilt or mum rage or whatever. I've never heard that term, but when you say it like that, it sounds perfect. It's a perfect term. We usually use it for professional circumstances.
Because it's such a big undertaking, and you're like, am I capable? Like in the beginning, I remember I used to close my car and be like, hang on a minute. I need to go back. There's my kid in the car. You know, like, this is like true story.
Yeah.
I was that green. And in anything, not just motherhood, the best thing a person can do is to just pursue themselves. So for me, becoming the best version of myself is becoming the best mom.
We're going to dive into that in a much, much deeper, because because I want practical points. We're going to finish up the show later on
with
practical points, but I'm going to dive out into a second. But I'm going to come to you, Zoe, because you're an older mum.
Yeah, and actually what you're saying, I found the imposter syndrome very interesting. Not something that I experienced as being a mum, but as an older mum, I actually believe that, obviously, in the UK, we have the NCT groups, and I actually don't know whether they're still going, National Childbirth Trust. So where you get, just before you have your baby, you get an opportunity to be part of a group of mums who are all going to have their babies at the same time, and you get sort of little, you get together, and it's a bit like having your own little community before the babies are born. So you can go through stuff or childbirth and after with the same group of mums. And I'm still friends with these lovely mums that I met when I had my daughter 17 years ago. Great mums. We went through some tough stuff together. But I actually think we're missing a trick, because I think that this would actually maybe help with the whole concept of imposter syndrome as well. But that is that I think mums maybe need a bit more support through different stages in children's lives. So not just when they're very newborn, or when you're pregnant and you have a baby and then they're newborn. You almost kind of need the toddler stage, and then you need the teenage stage. I mean, teenage stage right now is what I'm dealing with in my two, and I love them dearly.
Don't scare Corrie here. She's got younger ones.
But I sometimes feel that that is a point when you think, I can't do this. I don't have the skills to do this. So here you go, imposter syndrome coming in. For me, when I actually think about it like that, how on earth do I deal with two teenagers? Nobody's prepared me for this.
Yeah.
You know,
there is no manual.
So what do I do? Am I doing it right? Am I giving them enough? Am I making them happy?
And it's not your job to make
them happy.
We come
to that again. But I know. And that's what I'm finding.
But that comes back right the way, as we just said, about people pleasing and kicking off with empathy, sympathy, and all of the nurturing aspects that we have as women, which is phenomenal, because we just keep coming back to the same element, whether it's with kids, whether it's within a work environment, with a career environment.
For sure.
Let's touch on something else. We're kind of whizzing through this, but because it's so connected, I just think we're going to keep coming back to each aspect over and over again. Mm-hmm. And I want to touch on us as women and what we look like. You said a minute ago, and it really, really sat with me, is that if we're looking for validation and our self-worth outside of ourselves, we're always going to be seeking that in places where there's no safety and security. I mean, if you look at social media even more now, because literally, we have to question everything on social media. We have to question the filtering. The AI is so good.
I mean, when we're young, I mean, there was magazines. There was always an element of like MTV.
Absolutely. And I will agree with you, and probably even more so for Zoe and I, because we're the same age, that there was literally not even mobile phones, not even the internet. And so you did have magazines. You had 17. Do you remember that?
Ms. Do you remember Ms?
Yeah. So we're just going to sit here and reminisce about old magazines.
I remember Cosmo.
Cosmo.
I remember even like CD covers. I remember having this Britney Spears CD and looking at her body and thinking, oh my God.
Agreed.
I'm not like that.
Agreed. Mm. But it wasn't in your hand and with you for 8 hours day.
No.
I mean, it was the average woman looks at a phone for 8 hours a day? She's on socials and access to socials.
Mm-hmm. If I may, Trudy, I believe this we should take very seriously.
Absolutely.
Because it's no joke. You know, I feel, and I'm not victimizing, or I'm not putting myself, you know, as a woman who goes through so much, because honestly, I wish that we are in a world where we don't have to speak about women or men, because we are humans.
Yes.
But let's face it, a woman is expected to look good, smell good, be nice, smile, know her worth, be intelligent, have children, get the same body in 2 weeks,
go to
the gym, have, you know. You know, this is not realistic. If I haven't slept for 70 hours because I have a deadline, don't expect me, you know, to look flawless. And don't joke about it when you see me not looking flawless, because these are the things that we meet. But maybe 5 years back, someone who might have said a comment might have gotten to me, to my heart, to my spirit, to my soul. But nowadays doesn't, because my self-worth comes from my values and my purpose. And my very true purpose is to be of service. To be of service to myself, first and foremost, to my loved ones, and to the community. And that doesn't mean...
What does that mean in practical terms?
To be of service for me means that through my success, I can also see others making success. For example, one of my employees specifically now has her own line of foods that she makes, you know, raw foods. 4 years ago, maybe she wouldn't have thought about it. But when you instill the belief and when you see people blossoming, you just keep, you know, pushing and pushing, not in a way that pressures, but you see people just literally blossoming. The fact that you're giving, you know, a paycheck at the end of the month to other people. In my case, the fact that you see clients come saying their stories, you know, and they're opening up about loss, about divorce, about separation, about being under stress, you know, and you end up messaging them if you don't see them for 3-4 days because you're worried. You know, this is being of service, an act of kindness. But I do believe truly that finding that inner purpose allows us to find our value. And our value has nothing to do with our weight, our waists, our faces, our...
However, I do want to not challenge that, but let me give you a bit of an example. So the best thing we can all do is to pursue ourselves. Literally, if everybody does that on this planet, they wake up and they say, today, I'm going to be the best version of myself, mindset, my body, and I'll get onto the body, my soul, my career, whatever, you pursue yourself. And I know this for a fact, because one of the things when I get clients, women that have certain issues, maybe they're jealous of their partner, things are not going the way they wanted, I always start with exercise. And I was like, well, okay, I've heard this before, you know, and there's a difference between exercising to look good, yes, in a bikini.
Totally.
And exercising to be the best version of, yes, yourself. And I've experienced this personally. So in the past, I didn't have any stretch marks. I went with my second baby. I had, you know, an outburst of acne on my face. I didn't have all of these things in the past. And yet I had never felt more insecure, and I had never compared. Nowadays, because I'm obviously through studies that I've done and pursuing my career, I've pursued myself. So I'm training, I'm becoming the best version of myself in terms of my mindset.
Yes.
So I'm in a situation that on paper, I looked better before, on paper, right? But I feel better.
Yes.
And you see the difference. Why? Because I'm waking up in the morning and I'm saying, I'm going to do things for myself. And the reason why I said, let me challenge is because it is important to take care of our,
like 100.
Exercising, not to look better if you can feel stronger.
Yes,
That's going to give you a confidence boost.
Definitely.
And you're going to feel amazing inside out. And that's one of the, I know we're going to get to the practical stuff later, but that's a practical tip.
No, I don't want to be misinterpreted on that. I believe that taking care of ourselves is incredibly important, and it doesn't need to be justified. So if you're not going to make it to a meeting because you have a training session, don't feel you need to explain yourself
or apologize
for that.
Yes, yes.
Don't you dare.
That's interesting. Zoe.
Yeah. So it's interestingly from a, and I hear you, you've got to look after yourself, and that's essential. I'm going to take it back to just a couple of personal things that happened to me and how that supported me from initially, just before I got divorced, when I separated first from my husband, I went on a mindfulness course, which I didn't know anything about mindfulness at the time, but actually what that did is that gave me the strength and gave me the grounding and the kind of sense of self-worth to leave my husband. It also, that got me through that first kind of like horrendous challenge. I actually felt, I wouldn't say relaxed. It wasn't about being relaxed. It was just about being more centered and present and in the moment and understanding who I was and what I was about. Then we fast forward 2020 into COVID, I moved into a house on my own as the country locked down with no one to move me in. No one, not one person. And I did all of that. And the way that I got through that then, interestingly enough, was through exercise. And I got strong, physically strong. And that strength, I knew that that's what I needed.
Yes.
I needed that strength, physical strength, to feel worthy, actually, for a while. I knew I had the mindset right, but I wanted to feel strong and I wanted to look good. I wanted to look good because I was on my own again, on my own. And I was doing it all and I wanted to look good.
And may I just add, exercising is important for this topic, Know Your Worth, because a key player in worth is discipline.
Agreed. 100%.
When you say to yourself, I'm going to do something and then you don't do it, yes, that chips away at your worth.
True.
And in the introduction, you were like, talk to me about mind mastery. Discipline is like one of the key principles. Yes. You do it. You do what you say to your... Why would you keep promises that you make to others but not to yourself? Exactly. Why would you make this beautiful dinner when you're having people over and make the house, you know, look all great and light up the candle? Love that. And then when you're eating on your own, you're having a bowl of cereal.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. These things are chipping away.
Yeah. And incredibly important. And I'm listening to you and you've just touched on exactly what Marilena mentioned a minute ago, which is if you've got an appointment with the gym, someone wants you to go to a meeting, oh, go to the gym. Well, that's... I'm going to be devil's advocate for a second, because whilst I wholeheartedly agree with you, I'm mindful that a lot of women might be listening to that and saying, really? Can I really do that? And whilst you're saying, don't eat a bowl of cereal, we've all done it, haven't
yes,
we? We've come
100%.
Home and we've just gone, yeah, I've not got the energy yes, to cook.
Yes. But why don't you do that for others? When you're cooking for others, even if you're tired.
Out of milk, bread's gone, and the kids are hungry? Don't stress. There's a Dave's just around the corner. Open 24/7. Or skip the trip. Just tap the Dave's app. Tap, tap, tie-up. They'll deliver straight to your door. No minimum order, speedy delivery, and fresh fruit packed with care. Dave's cares about you.
Exactly.
Why? Why only for yourself? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. No, that's what I'm asking you. I'm the host. You have to answer.
And even myself, I have done it that I won't go to the gym, so I continue working. I stay for a meeting that's taking on and on. But nowadays, I don't. Because you know what? As Cree, you're saying, it helps us also to know our self-worth and to get through the challenges. Some days, there are challenges that you're facing that sometimes they seem the end of the world. You know, for example, there's no electricity. Everything's going to go to throw away. And then I remember this around 4 weeks ago. I was in one of my establishments and there was no electricity. It was fully stocked. So that meant in 4 hours, I would throw everything away. I had 18 hours and I had to start preparing for another 18 hours and an event afterwards. And I remember truly, I got the chairs and tables and I just threw them everywhere. I lost myself. I was alone. But at that point,
in English, we call it losing our shit.
Yes.
And I couldn't, you know, and everyone who knows me knows I'm very calm and patient, but I just lost it. And then I sat down and I said, you know what? This morning I ran. This morning I sat in an ice bath for 3 minutes. This is nothing. I'm going to find an electrician. We're going to fix it. And we're going to be on air, back in action in a few hours. And that's what I did. But if I had not gone training, if I had not done the ice bath and did my promise to myself, I would have probably felt shit.
I think that promise to yourself is really important. Yes. And we're going to come back to that in a second. But before I lose my train of thought, I am going to come to and pick out something you just said, Zoe.
Okay.
Because you talked about your breakup. One of the other elements that we can have in our lives, which really, I think so many women are going to listen to this and say, absolutely, that would be an enemy to our self-worth, is the relationships we find ourselves in and the relationships that we allow to affect us. And I say allow because we make our own choices, and we're saying that at this table. I want to ask you, I know your story, but I want to hear it again. Something prompted you to go to a mindfulness course and find the courage and find whatever it was that you needed to move you out of that situation. And I think this is so important, and it's so important for so many women. What was that? What prompted you, and what did you get from it?
So, funnily enough, I was prompted because my mum gave it to me as a gift for Christmas. She said, I think it would really help you. She was always on at me about going to yoga. I love yoga now, actually, funnily enough.
Oh, me, I'm a yoga all the time.
But I hadn't been for years. I did baby yoga, pregnancy yoga, but I'd never been to yoga. But anyway, my mum said to me, right, if you're not going to go to yoga, please go and do this mindfulness course. Just go and do it. And I had one session with the lady, just one session.
It was a one-on-one?
Yeah, one-on-one, really lovely lady. And she introduced me to mindfulness and said, well, I'm running a course, it's a 12-week course. Would you be interested? And I was like, actually, this is the right time. I think this is going to be the thing that literally lifts me and helps me out of this. And I actually, this is going to be really weird because I think we're going to go straight back to what we actually already we talked about earlier on. I found the courage. I actually found the courage to say, this relationship that I am in is not good enough.
But where did you find that courage? What was it that was said? What was it that was done that prompted you? And because I know that I'm going to ask Cree in a minute, but for you, what was that? What was the source of that courage?
So I sat in a room with these sessions with a group of other people who were there for lots of different reasons. I mean, I didn't actually know I was there to find that courage. I was just doing the course because I thought it felt right. It felt like the right thing to do. There was a lady there who really struggled with getting on an aeroplane. There was another person there who struggled with taking her kids. I think it was swimming. There were all sorts of various things that people just were looking at a mindfulness course to support them with, to give them some grounding, to give them some presence, some being focused. And we did meditation, and I discovered meditation. I discovered just how wonderful that is for me. It's such a good thing. My mum used to say to me, Zoe, you're always up on the ceiling somewhere. But actually, when you meditate, I literally bring myself back down.
Ground yourself.
I ground myself. And it's so important. And I found, I actually think I found my self-worth by doing the mindfulness sessions. And it was really interesting. Towards the end of the sessions, I was going off on a ski trip with my ex-husband. And it was after that ski trip when I realized that it was time for me to go.
Yeah, and probably also because mindfulness is a practice that really allows us to be present. You know, mindfulness is also about being in a state of equanimity, which I strongly believe in as much as possible, you know, reaching that point, and it's not easy, but being present. So probably also, if I may, of course, you know exactly what you've experienced, but being present with yourself and actually saying, I don't feel good about this, you know.
Well, because I'm gonna come to Cree and I'm going to ask you, what is that? What... Marilyn has mentioned it as well. But what is that? What happened to Zoe?
It's that inner compass that we all, and that's why in a lot of the podcasts, we're going back to inside out, introspection. We as women spend a lot of time outside, like helping others, focusing on others, nurturing others, pursuing. And there's a lot of activity going on. And a lot of us, I would boldly say 100% of us at some point get into a relationship and pour everything in that person, but we cannot pour from an empty cup. So what that is literally the introspection. And, you know, I'm going to go back to the bowl of cereal, but having a relationship with yourself, not giving everything to everyone else. And something with self-worth is when you're in a relationship with someone and you're constantly giving. You know, maybe if I give a little more, maybe I'll be worthy.
Maybe things change.
Yeah, if I look better, if I give more, maybe I'll be worthy. Maybe. And then it's like, no, don't give more. Become more. And you become more by going inside.
Yes.
Not the next hair color, not the next surgery, not the next diet, inside.
You say compass as well, and I'm going to come back to that in a second because that's a huge one. But I want to throw these onto the table as some practical points in relationships. What should we accept and what should we not accept? What should we embrace and not embrace? What is acceptable behavior? Because we know that unacceptable and bad behavior can be so damaging to our self-worth. I mean, I'm going to start off by saying we should be able to be the worst person, the worst version of ourselves, and still be accepted. If somebody will not accept the worst, and that's not to say that we should be the worst version of ourselves all the time, but if we're having that really, really crap day, we should not be afraid to say to our partner, whether it be a friend or whether it be in an intimate relationship, which is what we're referring to here, this is me at my worst. I think that is a definite no-no. If you can't do that, don't be there. But give me some other examples.
If you if you can't be vulnerable,
exactly.
Why be there? Why the relationship needs to be your safe space, not rather what is making you more vulnerable. And if I may perhaps say a quick message here, we never know what a person is going through. You know, we never know what a woman is going through. Because a woman might look, you know, all confident on the outside or doing her thing. But behind closed doors, we never know what
Absolutely.
She's listening. And to all women who are going through this and accepting it, it's never going to change. It doesn't change.
And the hardest thing is when you ask the question, Trudy, it's hard because I remember being in scenarios where I would say, well, I don't like this. But then the society would say, oh, yeah, that's normal. At least it's not this. It's okay. Like,
just you'll get used to it.
Exactly. Like, really, really playing it down. And I was thinking, oh, maybe my standards are too high.
Or you're too
difficult. You know, and you start to question yourself.
That's why I'm saying, what is acceptable and what's not acceptable?
Exactly.
Because we need to empower other women if they're going through a situation where, for instance, they cannot be the worst version of themselves, they cannot be vulnerable. Then that's a red flag. That's like that's not where you should be, and that's going
to
damage you.
And I know this is going to sound repetitive, but what gets repeated gets retained to our listeners. But this is why you have to go within. Because if you're going to go and ask your mother, your mother-in-law, your friends, you're going to get an answer that might be skewed by the generations that have come down. So, for example, there is so much advice being given, like when there's, you're in a relationship in your case and there's kids, you could get so many, like, stay because of the kids. if you go down that route, it might be the right thing, but it might not be, and the answer is not going to be external. This is the thing, you have to go within, and you'll know if you're in the wrong space. And another thing, you don't have to escape it. When you are working on yourself and you're becoming the best version of yourself, your partner or whoever it is we're talking about is either going to rise to that new version of you, that more empowered version of you, or is just going to fall off because you're not aligned. So it will happen organically. So if you are stuck and you don't know what you need to do and you're getting different advice and you're listening to all these podcasts and you still don't know, then your answer is to pursue yourself and the answer will come.
Yes.
Because you're working on you, and then the bad, or the people, not bad, but the people that are not made for you, they'll just fall off because they're not aligned anymore.
No. And interestingly, you said, people say, you know, you're staying for the kids, da, 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 that you're staying to keep everybody else happy.
Exactly.
Back again.
And the irony is...
keeping everybody happy.
The irony is, though, the kids are still getting impacted.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's going
to still affect them. So you're technically doing it to keep everyone happy, but a happy mom equals a happy child.
No, exactly that. And the irony in this situation actually was that... on this ski trip, I got questioned about because I'd been to a mindfulness class the night before we went on the ski trip and hadn't been home early enough to be there to pack the car or whatever it was. It was some nasty situation. Anyway, driving we drove to skiing, and I remember my ex-husband saying to me, "So what is this mindfulness thing anyway?" I've been going for 6 weeks at this point. Support. That's the other thing. You need to be supported and understood. And he said, "What is it?" And I went, "Well, you know, it's about being grounded and being present." And he went, "I don't know what you mean." And I said, "Okay, hang on." So then I went to look it up, and he said, "See, you don't even know what it is. You've got to look it up." If anything was a literally, it made me go, "This is the time."
It's unexpected ways.
To answer a more practical and to latch on what ladies are saying, let's be honest, Trudy. If you have a friendship, you and I are friends, and I don't support you, I don't support what you do, your career, your growth, the fact that you're beautiful, that you work on it, I support nothing of that. Do you believe you would stay friends with me? I doubt it, you know? It's natural, you know? So why, I'm going to ask myself, why do I accept, or why did I accept, you know?
And I'm going to answer that question, and this is exactly why we're sitting at the table. And it's a point of passion for me, having had some absolutely abhorrent relationships. I didn't think I was worth anything more.
Yes.
And this is why we're sitting here, because this is where it all starts.
Exactly.
And the more you stay in that, the more you won't get what you deserve.
Absolutely.
But it's not about thinking, and it's not about here. I didn't think. It's about being. And again, this is where there's a lot of disconnect. And there's a lack of introspection, and there's a lack of looking within.
Yes.
So you'll know your worth, and you'll become it just by doing the things, which we're going to go into, everybody, that are going to help you on this journey.
Mm. Yes, and Cree, I think to continue with you, I genuinely believe it is about wholehearted living, which to me means not just doing the mind work, doing the heart work, the soul work. What makes you feel good? What would you like? What would you desire? Why can't you communicate it? Why can't you, you know, have it? You know, why?
I'm going to ask you for practical application for that, because I'm what I want to do is I want to make sure that we at least deliver some real practical application.
Yes.
So we've talked about mindfulness. We've talked about going within. And I'm going to run through these things and ask you guys to particularly as we've touched on this mindfulness, because this whole idea that you have, Zoe, drawn this beautiful picture. And I think it explains so much of what we're talking about in a practical sense. You internalized, you looked into yourself, you got in touch with yourself, you spent time working on yourself on the inside, mm-hmm. not being affected by what's going on around on the outside, for you to find the courage to stop people pleasing and to think about yourself and what was right for you.
Yes. Spot on.
I know, I'm good, aren't I? It's like I've done it before. So let me ask that. Let me ask that question. We want to encourage anybody, any woman, because we know how many women that sit with this issue on a day-to-day basis. Where do we start? You've mentioned heart, soul, mind. You've mentioned about this internalization. I want to put this down in real basic language and keep coming back to practical examples such as Zoe's just given. Where on earth do we start? Where do we start? We're sitting here. We know that we feel go to work, we've got imposter syndrome, we've got an interview coming, we don't really quite believe that we're going to get the job, or we're in a relationship that just doesn't feel right, but we don't feel worth something more. What do we do? Where do we start? Okay.
I'm just going to say a lot of things, and then we'll see so the first thing we already mentioned is move your body. This is your vessel.
Yes.
I know it's like, what does it have to do? But honestly, just get up and move your body, because that will lead to being disciplined. And discipline is directly linked to self-worth. Write down on a paper, whilst you're listening to us guys right now, three things you really fear, and do them. When you literally, the antidote to fear is action. When you take yes. action on those fears, boom, self-worth skyrocket. Yes. So you want practical, write down what you fear and do those exactly things that you wrote on the paper.
Yes.
You know, another thing is, let's stop spending so much money on how we look externally and start maybe spending some money on the inner stuff. So I think you thought I was going to say journaling, because journaling
that's
is
it. 'Cause I
excellent
do it.
One. It's excellent, guys. Oh, like this yes. is basic stuff, but it makes a difference. When you are the observer of your thoughts, as opposed to you're beneath them, you put them on paper and you're observing them, you start putting things into perspective and you start looking at the lies. Marissa Peer has a book, Tell Yourself a Better Lie, because the brain is constantly lying, chit-chatting. You can't do this. You're not good enough. You'll never find someone, blah, blah, blah. No, it's all a lie. Write it down, observe it, and look at how miniature it is.
And being authentic here, Cree, when I started journaling, I started writing how something made me feel and how I want to, you know, overcome it. And I have a very good friend of mine who's also a therapist, and I work with her closely. Her name is Claudia, and she's really helped me get through some very hard things. And once I said, Claudia, I want to show you my journal, you know, like, and she started reading it and she said, you're such a liar. You know, I said, no. She said, no, Marlena, you are lying. You know, so what did I used to do? I used to write, this happened and that happened, but I'm sure that something positive is going to come out. She said, no, this makes you feel really shit. You know, you're angry, you're sad, you know, speak, yes, be true to yourself. So journaling allowed me to start being true to yes, myself.
Because that's another thing. We are silenced a lot. Not just, I mean, it's not just a female thing, right? It's any gender. There's a lot of silencing. It's a topic for another day, I would imagine. But the journaling is the first step to just being true to yourself
yes,
and saying
yes,
the things that
yes.
maybe you can't say to your husband. Or
exactly.
Maybe you can't say to your friends.
Yes.
Get it out there. Exactly. It needs
to come
out.
If you're feeling resentful, if you're feeling angry, if you're feeling shame, just write
release
it down.
Release it. Because get it on paper and then it's gone out of here.
And
that's
then
so
after
important.
That, how you're going to counteract it.
Yes, what
so,
can you do?
This person, out of my life. That's it. Done. You know, this is how Cloud, you know, take action. But first, be true to yourself.
But even this thing, person out of my life, like, it doesn't have to be this big, you know, breakup.
No.
Just
boundaries,
politely, distance. You know, start to distance. Mm-hmm. And because one of the things with not feeling worthy is, like we're saying, pouring from that empty cup. Yes. It's just like, you know what?
You mentioned a word I want to touch on as well. You mentioned boundaries. And I think boundaries are, and you probably were going to come to that, but I just want to interject because it's so incredibly important for self-worth to know what boundaries are.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I remember with one person that I was dating, I remember going round to their place on a Saturday night, and their energy was sitting in front of the television with a bowl of popcorn, and I walked in and they didn't even get up from the couch. And I remember saying, no, this is my boundary. If you are not able to come at least to be enthusiastic to see me, I need, and that was the moment that I actually turned around and went, okay, no, we're not doing this. It took that much. I mean, this has been going on for months, but boundaries. How do we?
But I'm going to talk about boundaries. I know we've been skipping topics, but in the workplace, because I remember one of the darkest periods of my life, I returned to work. And due to what had happened when I was on maternity leave, a lot has happened in my personal life. I returned to work with some boundaries. I was the type of person at the office who would just say yes to everything, because that's what women do. We say yes to everything. We try to be everything for everyone. And I was like, I remember going back to work and I was like, I can't get back to this situation because of all that's happened in my life. Like, this is the person that you see today in front of you, right? Now I have boundaries. And I remember when I went back into the office, there were some people that were not very happy with my boundaries. And, you know, maybe women listening to us may remember, like, you get these feelings, like, maybe if I don't say yes to that, I can get fired or I lose my position.
Yeah,
and,
of course.
And then I was like, no, I know what I bring to this company. I know my worth now.
Exactly.
No, they're not going to fire me because I know what I bring to the table. And eventually, with communicating the boundaries in a non-emotional and very
logical way,
grounded and knowing your worth way, because there is a way that when you know your worth, you communicate. Once it got to a point that eventually the same people that were very resistant to my boundaries asked me a magical question. How do you do it? And I kid you not, that was the start of me shifting my path into life coaching.
Give me an example of one boundary that you were...
So I'm going to give it to you. Hopefully it's not that obvious what I'm referring to, but an example would be, I wanted to have a day free of meetings. I couldn't get into the weekend where it's Friday, I'm still in meetings, I haven't done half of the things I need to do. My inbox is flooding, and then I go into the weekend and I can't switch off because there's a mountain of workload. So the options are, I either don't do anything and then I'm feeling like, oh my God, there's so much to do, or I work at the weekend. And now I had two kids, I was an independent mom, I couldn't afford to log in on a Saturday and catch up with all the crap I needed to do because I spent all my week in meetings. So when I obviously needed to decline certain things to be at, it wasn't very popular because there's a particular day in the week and I was like, you want me to be in a meeting? Monday to Thursday, please. You need to invite me to a meeting on a Friday. I will check the meet minutes in the email.
I think eventually, I have a new hero here. You know what I'm like, mean?
But eventually, we got to a stage where everyone was doing Keep It Free on a Friday as well. And again, I mean, there's a whole story around it, right? But it started with me saying, you can keep your meeting, but I'm not attending. This is a boundary for me. This is important. And that day free of meetings allowed me to catch up on my things, you know, like loose ends from the week because nothing goes to plan. Clear my inbox, you know, close off the week and then have a beautiful weekend where I get to be refreshed and come in the office and kick ass on the Monday. So then obviously the result was so speaking sensible. For itself,
yes.
You know?
Yes, 100%.
That is one example. There were plenty others, but, you know, and this led ultimately into me designing these productivity workshops that I do. And all of a sudden, like, I do this as well, aside from the life coaching, you said it in the intro. But it started from me not being afraid. And you know what? I remember having this dialogue. What if I get fired? And then I remember thinking like, no, I know what I bring to the table. And yes, that's knowing our worth.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think to set boundaries, very, very important is to create, I call them accountability points. So let's say in my case, I'm setting a boundary with a coworker, you know, because we are a whole team. I like to think of us as, you know, horizontal. Yes. So I don't say like my employees, we're colleagues, so very much like a family, but we're colleagues. But I do find it hard to set boundaries. So now I'm starting to set boundaries. But if that boundary is crossed and nothing happens, just I'm a little bit upset or stressed, excuse me, then nothing's going to happen. But if that boundary is crossed and I make sure that the person who crossed the boundary is accountable, like Cree, you do a meeting on Friday, you have to be accountable for it on your own because I'm not going to be there. That changes everything. Mm. You know, if I am doing this work, but you made me do also your work because you didn't do it, then you're going to be held accountable.
But that's letting go of the people pleasing. That's saying, yes, okay, yes, I'm going to, and that is a tough challenge, and that we're going through this whole process. You mentioned something, I know this is crazy. I think that we probably need to sit and do a part two to this show. Mm. Okay. I think that, believe it or not, we've actually sat for quite a while having this conversation, but I want to touch on something that you said a moment ago. And I'm actually going to ask you also to give me some more pointers that we can put as some footnotes to this show. So underneath here, we're going to list some of these points just for practical purposes, and doing what Zoe did and finding someone to guide you is a, probably a really good starting point. And I'm going to put all of these dits, but will you help me with that? Can we do that?
Yes, definitely. Brilliant. I would love to.
But for now, I want to touch back on something that you said, and I'm going to ask each one of you ladies to share a story. And we're going to finish with a story because I love storytelling as I think it has so much impact. You mentioned about doing something, three things, write down three things that you're frightened of. And I don't even know necessarily if they have to be truly fearful, but it is something that takes you out of your comfort zone. I've always said this my whole life. No magic happens in your comfort zone. The magic lives when you come out of your comfort zone. So I want to ask you three ladies, and I'm going to start with you.
Hello.
Okay, I'm going to finish with you, Zoe. I'm going to come to you in a second. But just give me an example of something that took you out of your comfort zone or something that you were frightened of that then gave you huge courage. We've said courage so many times. We started talking about it right at the very beginning, but that then gave you courage, which gave you self-worth. Can you think of something that you did?
I can think of a big list, to be honest. But I'm going to specifically go with something related to how we started the conversation. And that was the decision to pursue this career. Because there I was, you know, 12 years in banking. You know, you get that reaction from like the nannas and the, you know, society, oh, you know, finance, great. And all of a sudden, I'm going into the unknown world of a job that, in the eyes of many people, is not a real job. And for me, it was like, okay, what do I do? And because I had been on a journey through undergoing so many changes in my life and knowing myself, and I had done all that shadow work and done my own life coaching on me, I knew that this was the answer, because everybody who is in any sort of confusing time in their life, you have the answer within you. So I knew this was the path for me. And even though I have two kids, I'm an independent mom, you know, you have a lot of things that come with it. A lot of people told me, well, go into a career. I got offered like great salary packages, way more than I even had with HSBC. Everyone was like, what are you doing? Just go with the, do it on the side, you know? And I was just like, no, I'm going for this. I'm going for this. I'm not going to have a salary. I'm going into the unknown. I'm nobody. Nobody knows who I am, but I know this is my path. And for me, that was a huge risk because you have the mortgage, you have the kids. Financially, it's a huge undertaking. But one thing that led me to be confident in doing that is I know that I wake up in the morning and I do my rituals to have that relationship with myself. And that sets me up for the day of facing the rest of the world. And we're going to put those in the footnotes. So for me, many risks, but that one was the one I wanted to touch on today.
I love that. And I'm so glad that you have done that.
And because of that, I'm here today, because you wouldn't have known who I am. And absolutely. This is, by the way, guys, this is one of the moments I want, when I got into this, you know, career, I've always been a listener of the She Word. And I remember fantasizing about being on your show. And I wouldn't have probably gotten on the show working for the bank. So I'm here today because I took that risk.
Absolutely.
So, and thanks to you.
And that's the way it works. But tell me.
I think it would have to be two things for me personally. One thing is when I had decided to become a clown doctor. It's been quite a few years, but I was always very, very, very scared to be in hospital wards, to face, you know, especially children facing cancer. And at that time, it was very scary. I went in for it, you know, you have a whole training regime. And my first clowning experience was on New Year's Day. It was with Mario Grech, Dr. Buttons, who inspired me to become a clown doctor. And I get goosebumps, you know. So that was one thing major that I am very grateful I had done. The second one is a recent one where I actually built a cafe from zero to nothing. You know, we took on a new place and I never imagined I would be able to do the things I've done. No, genuinely. When you're facing things and you have to deal with them, you know, you have to fix piping system. You have to carry, you know, 20 kilos of sand on your own, because if not, and the workers are coming and they don't find it, it's just another day lost. So that's means money's lost, you know. You're latching onto things that you never expected to manage. I think that's it. But then, when you look back, and of course you actually say to yourself, I've managed to do this, not you question, there's a lot of self-worth.
I think something just to add to that as well, as you mentioned, you know, you go into this, the creating the cafe isn't one thing. It's many small things that contribute to that big accomplishment. And I think that's quite often what we think, is we look at something and say, oh my word, it's so big. But it actually, it's a bunch of small steps. Yes. And each step that you take is a win, is an accomplishment. Zoe, you have the final word here. You are a lady of experience. One of the challenges, something that you've done that just really was a game changer for you.
I think it's probably the most recent thing I've done, to be honest, which is going from the security, and you mention it, having 5 years of being working for somebody else, knowing that my salary is coming in every month and that that's what's going to happen. It's going to pay my mortgage, etc. And having the kind of confidence and the ability to take that step and say, no, actually, I'm doing this for me. I want to go and be a presenter coach again. I love it so much, and I love doing what I do so much that it's going to be fine. I know it is. I know it's going to be fine. And because of that passion, I ended up only very recently doing lots of coaching for two friends. And with friends, they kind of, one of them is a DJ, and she's brilliant, fantastic DJ. She is going to give my daughter some DJ lessons in payment. And I coached her through present. She'd never presented before. And she went into a school and talked about how her journey to becoming a DJ and owning her own events company. And then another friend of mine also asked me to coach her, literally within weeks of each other, within weeks of me leaving my permanent job. And she's just done her first presentation, and she smashed it, absolutely smashed it. And when I was coaching both of them and watching what they did, that's when I thought, no, I've done the right thing. I've done the right thing. Amazing. I loved it. And yeah.
What you're fearing the most, guys, do that.
Yes. I'm going to say cheers. Cheers to knowing your worth and living the life that you really deserve.
Yes. Cheers.
Cheers,
ladies.
Boom. We have to do a second one.